Chapter 17, Prophecies Concerning the Calling of the Gentiles. Having shown how the prophecies relating to the Jews, and also the promises and types referring to the Lord Jesus Christ have been fulfilled, we now come to consider the prophecies which went before relative to the calling and conversion of the Gentiles. There are many references scattered throughout the Old Testament to the eventual calling of the Gentile nations. Yet those who lived in that period seem not to have understood this mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. In Old Testament times, the revelation of God and his truth was confined to the Jews. And yet, even the promise to Abraham that this should be so contained an allusion to the fact that this privilege would be extended also to the Gentiles, for he was on this account called a father of many nations. This the apostle points out to the Gentile believers at Rome, that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Moses also prophesies of these days, when he speaks of the children of Israel being provoked by the calling of the Gentiles. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Hence, in his song, Moses calls on the Gentiles to rejoice. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people. In the Psalms, we have the same revelation given in the spirit of prophecy. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, which the apostle applies to the promulgation of the gospel in Romans 10, verse 18. Again, the psalmist calls upon the nations to praise the Lord in these times of the Gentiles. O praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. Then, if we take Isaiah, what clear references he makes to the Gentiles in his prophecies. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. This the apostle interprets more clearly to the Romans. Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. So in other places, Isaiah tells of these Gentile days, Behold, my servant whom I uphold, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. I will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. This was to be a comfort to the Lord Jesus himself, when ready to say he had labored in vain. It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Nor does Jeremiah omit to prophesy of these days, although so taken up with divine reproof of the Jews. The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth. Hosea too joins in the testimony of the prophets, where he says, I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God. This the apostle confirms in Romans 9 verse 25. Joel foretold also that the day should come in which whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, which Paul applies to the Greek as well as to the Jew. Then Malachi concludes the Old Testament prophecies with this word, from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Here then is a continued foreshadowing of the times of the Gentiles, when they should be called rather than the Jews. And the fulfilling of these prophecies is very evident to us, whose lot is cast in those times. It may be, in that the fullness of the Gentiles is nearly come in, but even so, we have evidence in the present day, and in the history of the world since the days of the apostles, that these prophecies have been abundantly fulfilled. The Acts of the Apostles show how this fulfillment began in their days, and the history of the Church since then gives the same testimony of the truth of Scripture on this point. Philip was sent to the Ethiopian eunuch, and Peter to the centurion Cornelius. But the Apostle Paul was peculiarly designed and sent for this great work of the conversion of the Gentiles. And in this respect, he calls himself the Apostle of the Gentiles. This was specified in his commission, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. So when Paul and Barnabas were separated by the church at Antioch for this work whereunto God had called them, they preached the word of God first in the synagogues of the Jews. But when the latter spoke against them, contradicting and blaspheming, they waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. From that time, the ministry of Paul was exercised among the Gentiles in Galatia, Cappadocia, Macedonia, to Corinth, Ephesus, Philippi, and eventually to Rome itself. And the fruits of his labors may be seen in the wonderful epistles which he wrote to the churches in those parts. Since the apostolic days, what a spreading of the gospel among the Gentiles has the earth been a witness of! In the times of the early churches, many were martyred under the persecutions of the Roman emperors. But even this doubtless led to a scattering abroad of those who fled from their persecutors, and by these means the gospel, with which they had become acquainted, was spread to other lands of the Gentiles. In this way it reached our own beloved land, this island of the Gentiles, afar off upon the seas. Then came the great declension from the apostolic simplicity of the gospel, wherein the darkness of popery overwhelmed the nations, except for a few isolated examples where the truth seems to have been preserved here and there. But the promises and prophecies of the calling of the Gentiles could not be overthrown by these devices of Satan. And so we see the rise of godly reformers who were brought to the knowledge of the truth in their own souls and sought to communicate it to their fellow countrymen as they found opportunity. In our own land, there was Wycliffe, who has been called the morning star of the Reformation. He not only spread the truth by means of his own writings, but also translated the scriptures into our own tongue, so that Englishmen could read it themselves and be convinced of the truth in so doing, under the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. The truths thus set forth by Wycliffe found their way to the continent and were instrumental in reformations there under the teachings of John Huss and Jerome of Prague, and later on of Luther, Calvin, and others. In Scotland also, John Knox was raised up as a leader to turn the people from popery to the truth. Since those days, how favored has our own beloved land been in the reception of the gospel, in the power of it. Reformers such as Cranmer, Hooper, Ridley, and others, and after them the godly Puritans, were the means of spreading the truth in its purity and simplicity among the people, while many godly nonconformists have been raised up subsequently and made able ministers to the same end. Here again, then, we have a further evidence of the truth of the Scriptures in the abundant fulfillment of this particular line of prophecy, both in our own land and in many other of the Gentile nations.